Hey everybody, thanks for sticking around and postponing your bathroom break for me. And Bob, I also wasn't going to read this poem, but I think it fits with your poem about the ER. Life with an actress. Not an operator. She didn't work the switchboards, didn't transfer calls or look up information or numbers, didn't connect, say, one moment please. She wasn't the half-dead voice against the dial tone giving grievances of dead air time or down lines or requesting another dime. No. She was an actress. Not great, but dedicated. A voice rubbing velvet to imaginations of sexual outposts with money to burn. She was the girl next door and the woman in the cellar. She was a daughter, mother, sister-in-law. With a flick of the uvula, she became a panicked woman pleading, a child begging, a sister insisting, a wife resisting. In the kitchen where she worked, it got the best reception. We stepped quietly around the narratives woven, creaking boards we feared might break under our weight. She was a talent, though, at being the good girl, at crying on command, saying, Daddy, don't, and baby, please, and no, no, and yes, ooh, yes. She was a broom closet bursting with appliance, but worse, we were mostly just a messed house unable to be tidied. We were 10 women in a 4-bedroom house. We all had our ways to pay the bills, and none of us were honest. We were all actresses in some sense, playing parts, fulfilling a dreamscape, but Mary, she was successful. So another one of my many jobs is hanging posters. If you see posters for like plays and stuff, I probably put them up. This is hanging posters, Shadyside. Aaron grunts at me, turns, pretends to sleep when I admit I have no money today, no food, just my work posters and a few rolls of tape. I want to still be mad at him for kissing me when he sat with me in the rain a few weeks ago and I gave him money for food. I was too tired to see what was happening until it happened. But he's so hungry today, and I can't help him. And meanwhile, the two girls are still on the corner, still arguing. You'd rather be smart and hideous than pretty? Really? And I want to block it all out, but the friend goes, it's who I am, so I might as well embrace it. And I wonder, suddenly, if we must claim who we are simply by how others make us feel. If Aaron will forever be hungry and rejected, if I will ever always be foolishly sympathetic, and someone shells asshole at me from their car, and I wonder if I'll always be an asshole. And it's 3 in the afternoon, and realize none of us have real jobs or anywhere to be. At a gas station in New Mexico. Being hyperactive with the rush that comes from a break in winter winds. Being an introvert and having nothing particular to say or just no one eager to hear it. I dressed up like a superhero and skateboarded the evening streets of Santa Fe. At the Allsups, strangers were filming a documentary on gas station convenience store workers and the shit they have to deal with, like drug deals, like attempted robberies, like that time that one guy got shot. Like that manic chick in hot pink knee pads, tube top, denim vest, goggles, and mohawk, drooling for a chimney and a churro. Rocco, our attendant, was annoyed at being held up once. Nothing kept in the register, the bulletproof glass now covered with fingerprints, people always pointing and never wiping their feet before entering. I wasn't crazy like they hoped. When asked, mic and camera rolling, what I was doing, I told them. I was waking from a long sleep, watching the city's characters play out our roles, listening to traffic that sounds like a song played in reverse. I was grabbing snacks. I was saving my own life. Firewalker. When the lights went out on Swinburne Street, You were a coruscating brilliance in our dark. My bike against the railing, I hovered. Shitty guardian angel who would not protect you from current or curiosity, my own bolting. The power line wrapped around you in a sparked circle, your temenos, as your red tail twitched to the spark of electric current it carried. Where did you think you were headed before finding this temptation of heat and dervish? We can only ever end up where we are, and I'm sorry for this street that slithers through the wilderness of the city you thought we'd forgotten. No one lives here but me. This is my power line, my fault. You had no choice but to be drawn to this disaster, just as I was pulled into the blaze of the Zobra who burns with the fears and worries of Santa Fe, or the dumpster fires I've set in boredom, or manuscripts and journals I've set to light and ash, or the car fire where I feel I'll always be drawn back to be gnawed. This power line is your fucked up temenos in a city that decided to stay, and the car on Pulaski Street, Brooklyn, is my oubliette. Try as I might, I can remember nothing but the cruel night I watched. We all watched the man in the driver's seat burn, thrash, try his pathetic handle, the door molded shut with the heat only metals know. The firefighters, for some reason, tried the trunk, and I tried to keep walking, but I couldn't. I stayed. We all stayed and watched him die, his screams just audible beyond the brilliant roar of the fire, the pointless sirens since quit. None of us talked except to ourselves. Oh, just so awful. And my poor groceries near spoiled from the heat in my backpack, a fire on a summer's night. And however long I waited for the show to end, the thrashing to finally cease, so I knew what to tell my friends later, how to feel about the deaths I've seen before or since, about you, little fox, your eyes blinking. I knew it had to be the electricity pulsing through, but I hoped, just a little, you were okay in this suspended shock. At home, my alarm clock, microwave, Mr. Coffee all flashed, 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock, your telltale heartbeat in my electronics. Bury the dogs. In the arroyo with the old refrigerators and the washing machine. In your uncle's old truck you never got to run. Bury the dogs in their home soil where they lay in wait and panted like a prayer for water, chewed on leftovers thrown out from car windows, beef jerky you gave them as alms while waiting for the last working payphone in New Mexico to be free. Bury them in the sun and dusk, pet their mange like a worry stone until the scabs peel smooth. Don't worry about infection. It will rain soon. Wait. When the river runs a rapid, let your hands be washed in the muck water and dog hair and holy water. Let more couches be wrenched from porches to sail like tiny ships downstream. You may think you see a best friend or ex-girlfriend floating among the pillows, trash bags, tree limbs, and strays, but don't reach for her. Let it all pass. The arroyo mutts will come again to cool against the summer heat, drink and drown in it. I have one more. Thanks again for having me and everybody else. This is a really wonderful group. In Prague, we climbed scaffolding. After goaded with song in a pub to drink with the banquet of old regulars, after making friends at a hip bar with records stapled to the wall, after running with new friends, stole the bar's untapped keg, after wandering through small streets as it started to snow, and Jean-Pierre got so lonely that he started to cry and we couldn't get him to stop. After crying ourselves upon seeing the memorial to the victims of communism, the man disintegrating into the abyss of national failure, because we wanted it to be better. At the meetings, our visions were so much more optimistic than the truth. After the snow began in flakes and fell in mounds, after Nick confessed he was addicted to crack and that's why we hadn't talked for 3 years, after I knew he was clean now, after I forgave him for the silence. After we snuck by the security guard, after we eluded the other visitors by hiding in the shadows, the scaffolding against St. Vitus Cathedral called to us, and we answered. It was rickety, but we moved up the slick black piping, slid along the steel, and up we climbed as down the snow fell, not daring to look back, trying to be quiet as the scaffolding creaked back and forth, and we worked from both sides, trying to counteract each other's weight, an idiot's pendulum. 300 feet up, I looked above my head to see my personal ghoul drooling on me, grotesque gargoyle with snow condensed and dripping. I whispered to Nick to look above him, and he screamed. The security guard below looked towards our racket, but in the snow, his flashlight showed him only the white solitude that fell towards him. He sang a song to no one as he walked away, and suddenly, I was lonely too. After 4 months on the run, it was a security guard that did it. The church bells rang, and I thought of E.E. Cummings, so down we climbed as up they praised. Nick had a flask I didn't realize, and the steel-swaying ladder was slick, and down I climbed as up he flew, swept from a rail, then 3 stories. And maybe it was our Catholic guilt, or anarchist optimism, or my own dumb luck that resonates like a tuning fork. But he broke nothing but the silence that had filled my ears as I saw him flip, and I made my own slow way down, more careful this time, to appreciate my feet, my small hands, my eyelashes. Everything that was still alive was a miracle. Thank you.